This is an amateur recording of Seamus Young's book, How I Learned. It can be found online at his website, seamusyoung.com/20sided tale.
Chapter 40, The Systems Analyst. It's 1993, and I'm working at Taco Bell. Working here is miserable, but very instructive, as a low-level view of corporate dysfunction. I'm 22 now. My life isn't irrevocably ruined by this fast food detour, but I can feel the clock ticking. The longer I'm stuck in this rut, the harder it will be to break out. I need to find some kind of technology job soon. This is hampered somewhat by the fact that I'm afraid to look for work. I like thinking that I'll be able to get the kind of job doing what I love. The only thing that can kill that dream is to attempt to do so and fail. I'm not really aware of this dysfunction right now. It's just a little neurosis that eats away at me from time to time and perpetrates foolish behavior. My friend David is going to school at Nyack College. Patrick has graduated high school and gone off to the Navy. I've made new friends at Taco Bell, but we're all friends of proximity, not common interests. I feel a little isolated these days. Heather is now in her second year of college. She's double majoring in elementary and special education with an art minor. In those rare moments away from school, she's working as a nanny. It's keeping her busy. We're still dating, but our relationship is an on-again, off-again thing. Taking the long view, this is probably for the best. I'm not a very nice person to be around these days, and our distance saves her from the brunt of my bitterness, self-absorption, and jackassery. The friends around me are not so lucky, and I end up treating a lot of people very poorly. I've been made a shift manager. I'm allowed to be in charge of the store, and am privy to the inner workings of the business in a way that wasn't possible as a lowly mook at McDonald's. I find I'm very interested in the problem of how the weekly work schedule is made. Making a work schedule in a place like this is a fiendishly difficult task. Each employee has a schedule of availability that is unique to them. Alice can only work weeknights before 9. Bob can only work Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and can't work after dark because he still has a junior license, which prohibits nighttime driving. Carl can't work on Sundays, won't work before 3 in the afternoon, and his mother doesn't want him to work more than 10 hours a week. Dave and Ellen can't work at the same time, since they're living together and one of them needs to be home with the baby. Furthermore, some employees are not suited to some tasks. Fred is too dumb and rude to work the register. Gretchen can work the register, but hasn't yet been trained on preparing food. Additionally, you must make sure to give all the employees the right number of hours for the week. You can't let the full-timers drop below 40 hours, or they won't be able to pay their bills. You can't make any of the minors work above a certain limit, or it's a federal offense. If you have to give everyone at least a few hours, or they'll quit. Above all, you can't give anyone more than 40 hours, or corporate will mete out a harsh judgment on you for allowing anyone to earn overtime pay. Using this list of restrictions, exemptions, and limitations... Yes, Leia?
I'm sorry.
You want to go outside?
Yeah.
You may go outside. That's okay.
Go outside.
Okay, you can go outside.
You go outside.
No, I'm not going outside. I'm reading my book. Let's see. Using this list of restrictions, exemptions, and limitations, you have to fit these employees into a schedule that gives you exactly as many people as you need at any given time of day. This task ends up being an hours-long puzzle, where there isn't guaranteed to be a solution. At McDonald's, this was done by hand. Here at Taco Bell, the schedule is first done by a computer, and then the manager has to come along and completely rebuild it. The computer can't generate a usable schedule because the rules for each individual employee are so complex that there's no way to explain them to the computer. There is no way to specify things like, these people can't work at the same time. The person who wrote the software lived in some sort of dream world utopia where all the employees are competent at all tasks, people won't quit if they don't get enough hours, nobody ever needs a ride, and teenagers are willing to work on Friday nights. It's an enormous pain to build the schedule using only the clunky interface of this computer system, which means that the schedule is a lot more work here than for the people at McDonald's, who do it all by hand. In addition to building a useless and broken schedule, the computer system also calculates our allowed hours. It looks at the business you do on an hour-to-hour basis and uses that information to allot time to next week's schedule. So if we did a lot of business on Saturday night, it will tell you you have a lot of people on hand next Saturday. The other thing it does is examine your business at the end of the day and tell you how many hours of labor you should have used today. Without fail, at the end of every single day, it tells us we used too many. This results in corporate wrath falling on the heads of the store manager. Obviously, there are a lot of problems with making computer systems to predict the future and then punishing the manager when it guesses wrong. The system doesn't look at anything other than how much the store makes an hour. If you did $100 worth of business, then it calculates the price was dead, and you only needed a couple of people. $100 works out to a customer every 5 minutes or so, which is very slow. You don't need a lot of people for $100 worth of business, assuming all customers are evenly spaced, but in the real world, which is where my store is located, customers sometimes come in blitzkrieg waves. When Walmart closes, 20 customers show up at once. Two people can keep up with an order every 5 minutes, but 20 customers at once will instantly bury those same two employees. We have a one-lane drive-thru. Once you enter, you've got the building on one side and a steep embankment on the other. It's physically impossible to leave the drive-thru prematurely. It turns out that if someone finds themselves thinking, "I'm hungry and in a hurry, I will use the drive-thru," they will be incredibly angry if they find themselves trapped for half an hour. If not for the fact that they're already late for something, we'd probably have to deal with a lot more profanity and shouting. None of this would be a problem if there was a human being rating the performance of the store, but it's all done by computer, and nobody has the authority to overrule the computer. This place has chewed through 3 store managers since I was hired. They're calling this place a problem store. Upper management types come here now and again to figure out what's wrong. I often hear these guys talking about the model store. At first I thought this was a hypothetical thing, but now I'm a shift manager and I've discovered that this is a real place. Somewhere out there is a real physical building where managers observe business patterns, employment trends, and products. They use that data to decide how to run all the other stores, under the assumption that all the stores will be pretty much the same. It quickly becomes very clear to me why everything is going wrong. At the McDonald's where I worked, and I assume at the model store, business follows a fairly predictable sine wave. There's a morning rush, a lull, then a huge lunch rush, then another lull, then dinner, then a low, slow, steady decline of business until closing. This pattern is very regular, to the point where you could know what time it is simply by observing the number of orders and the ratio of drive-through to dining room customers. People are less likely to come inside once it gets dark. This pattern does not hold for our Taco Bell. After observing and suffering under the computer system, I can see what's wrong with their computer model. It's built atop 2 assumptions that are demonstrably false for our store. Number 1, the traffic of 1 week will resemble the traffic of the previous week. And number 2, for any given hour, orders are roughly evenly spaced or arrive in brief clusters. The system doesn't allow for traffic spikes or unpredictable traffic patterns. When these reports show up in the hands of some distant district manager, they either cannot see or cannot understand what's really going on. They just see that, according to the computer, we burned an extra 16 hours in one day. This means that we supposedly had one more person than was needed the entire time the store was open. They get an image in their heads of a person lazing around the store from open to close, soaking up hours but not having any work to do. This manager passes down the directive for the local manager to fix this problem. When that manager fails to fix it, they are removed and the job is given to someone else. Higher-ups keep showing up with notebooks full of reports and asking why we can't be more like the stores in this district. The gap between how many people we need and how many people the computer system says we should need is large. The store manager usually tries to split the difference and only be moderately shorthanded and moderately over budget. On a normal day, this is tolerable, but when we're hit with traffic spikes, we end up with chaos, wrong orders, bad food, and shameful service times. I want to apologize to every customer as I hand them their food. Some of the other order times exceed 20 minutes. That's a gap between the order being placed and the order being bumped, completed and cleared from the queue. The customer actually waited much longer if we include the time they spent in line. This is horrible. They could have gone to a sit-down restaurant and have obtained their food faster. This place should not be a problem store. We've got the high school, the intermediate school, the fairgrounds, the lake, the state park, a movie theater, and 2 different shopping plazas nearby. We're the most convenient fast food place for both Target and Walmart. We're sitting on the nexus of a couple major roads. There are other fast food places in the area, but we're positioned at the end of a strip, so the shoppers must drive past us to get to the other restaurants. We've got customers. All we need to do is keep enough people on hand to sell them the food they want without pissing them off. A great deal of our traffic comes from people traveling to and from the lake, and those customers can be multitude or non-existent depending on the weather. Making a truly accurate schedule ahead of time would require us to be able to predict the weather more than a week in advance, and with greater accuracy than meteorologists. We would need to know the schedule for every sporting event at the schools, events every event at the fairgrounds, and the exit time of all the popular movies, which would require knowing which movies would be popular ahead of time. Even if such a task were possible, it would be a part-time job in itself. Even if we magically knew when the traffic spikes were coming, you couldn't surgically schedule people to work like that. Oh, Bob, we need you to work on Friday night at 6 for an hour. Then at 9 for an hour. Then come in again around 2 for the bar rush. Thanks. If you need 3 people at 9 in the evening and 3 people at 2 in the morning, you're going to need 3 people the whole time, no matter how slow it is at midnight. You can't explain this simple truth to the computer, even if you swear at it. I've tried. The upshot is that this is really an excellent location for a fast food joint, but the chaotic business patterns confuse the computer system and cause it to incorrectly appraise our performance. It's bad enough that this place is grinding at managers and failing to capitalize on all the available business, but this bad service is also damaging the Taco Bell name. This is the first Taco Bell in the area. For many of our customers, this is their first and possibly last impression of the brand name. After one visit, they will have learned that Taco Bell is synonymous with filthy stores, haggard employees, trash in the dining area, and 20-minute service times. Taco Bell is worried about spending an extra $5 at an hour to staff the place, but we sometimes lose double that hour, double that in refunds, food wasted to mistakes born of chaos, and drive off customers. Beyond that, we don't even have a way to count the people who walk in the door, see the line, and walk back out. Even if you take that extremely short view of things, this skeleton crew policy is a massive liability to the company name and the bottom line. And the frustrating thing is, I can see this problem. I see how the computer is supposed to work, and I can see where it's actually going wrong. I've diagnosed the problem with the system by simply observing the daily traffic and reading the resulting reports. I try telling a few of my bosses, but I'm generally dismissed as a whiner and a Luddite and a paranoid. They assume I'm blaming the computer because I'm a dumb, angry kid and I want to shake my fist at the man. It's true that I'm not particularly diplomatic or dispassionate with my observation, which is a skill I'll acquire later on. However, I'm not just looking for someone to shake my fist at. I'm upset because the engineer in me can see a malfunctioning and self-destructive system, and I have no means or authority to fix it. I'm sure not even my boss's boss knows the name of the person at corporate headquarters who is in charge of the people who envisioned this system. They might as well be on another planet. There is nothing I can do to explain this, even if I was willing to go over someone's head. The store is a nexus of loss and a personal strife. And all the problems can be traced back to a computer system that nobody has an authority to question. I've felt this way before. I remember sitting in classrooms and looking at the inane and counterproductive things being done around me. I remember the helplessness and the frustration I felt in observing an unassailable status quo. This isn't just a problem with schools. It's a problem with any large system. It's a problem with people. Anytime you have a system where there are several layers of separation between the decision maker and the decision implementers, you're going to have these situations where the left hand is feeding the right hand into a wood chipper. I don't know if my career will ever get moving again, but if it does, I hope I don't end up working for a company that's a large corporation. Ideally, I'd like to work for a small company. I want to be part of a small team where my input will really be valued and people will be able to see the results of my work. I don't want to ever find myself in a position like this where I'm in charge of polishing the brass on a sinking ship.